Are you ready to elevate your coaching?
Whether you're just starting out or an experienced coach, get ready to up-level, enhance your mindset and amplify your skills with The Coaching Catalyst.
Let the transformation begin. Hello and welcome to our podcast. I'm Sarah Bramall and I'm joined today by my co-host Rebecca Daniel. And today we're going to be talking about our life as a coach, the highs, the lows, and the messy middle. So we're really lucky to do the work that we do, aren't we? All of us who are coaches, it's an incredible privilege. But if we're honest, it's not rainbows and unicorns all of the time. So, Rebecca, when we speak to coaches in our community and in supervision, what are the things that you think that they tend to struggle with?
So I'm going to acknowledge one of the school mums, actually, who I was on a walk with and who said, "I really love that you share the messy middle." And I was like, I really like that phrase, actually. You know, as Sarah said, it isn't all rainbows and unicorns or sunshine and rainbows, as Rocky would say. One of the things that comes up the most when we are talking to our supervisees, when we're talking to the coaches, is the overwhelm and uncertainty that comes with coaching, running a coaching business, either coaching internally, getting started with their coaching practice, all things getting started and actually doing the work that we love, doing the work that we love with confidence, with assurance, and with joy. And that doesn't have to be, as I said, running a business. It could be you are an internal coach in your workplace and you need to coach your line manager or your colleagues, or you are training and you're trying to increase your coaching hours and you're seeking pro bono clients, or you are starting your coaching practice and you are looking for paid coaching clients. But it all comes down to overwhelm and uncertainty. Sarah, what do you experience when you coach and when you supervise too?
Yeah, you've said it comes down to overwhelm and uncertainty. That lack of confidence, I think, because it's a lonely profession, right? And sometimes I think we can get stuck in our own heads about, am I doing the best job that I want to be doing for my clients? And I also think it's because generally as coaches, we really, really care that we're doing the best that we can. And so that can be a lack of confidence and maybe sometimes kind of overthinking, ruminating about what's happened in a coaching session.
And that rumination as well can manifest itself in so many different ways. And I think if we don't have a space, Sarah, where we can talk to other coaches who are going through similar obstacles, similar challenges, or who have been there, then it can be really, really hard for us to continue doing the work that we do as coaches, continue putting ourselves out there, continue supporting others. And we know how valuable our skills are as coaches in supporting others. So we definitely know that this is one area of growth that we as coaches need to work towards in order to continue to do the service that we do. So confidence is, in theory, the way that we would sum this up, right? That overwhelm, that uncertainty, it sometimes often links to a lack of confidence in talking about what we do, a lack of confidence in owning that label that we are coaches, in marketing and selling our services.
Yeah, I agree with you, Rebecca. I think it all really comes back down to confidence. So how do we get around this without being stuck in our own heads? And I think the way that we get around this is by learning to reflect effectively on our coaching. And it's on that reflection that we're going to focus today. So before we go into this reflection and why it's important, one thing that, again, we're ex-teachers that we used in teaching, but I think can be a really useful framework that we used with the students that we were working with. When we were reflecting on a piece of work that the students had done, we'd ask them to look at their work and we'd ask them to identify from that piece of work what went well and what could be even better. So what went well and even better if. Now, that's such a simple structure, but actually what that positions us to do is to look at what's working, because sometimes we're not very good at doing that, but also look at what we could do to make our work even better. So in the classroom, we would encourage the students to do that for themselves, that self-reflection. And then often we would ask them to ask a peer, another student in the classroom, to look at their work and to offer feedback to them. Again, using that structure, what went well and what could be even better. And that actually is very similar to what happens in the supervision space in group supervision, because often the coach will come and reflect and will hold space for them to reflect on their coaching. And in group supervision, other coaches will often share as well what they notice, and if permission is given, sometimes offer suggestion or offer a challenge that might help that coach to move forward. So what happens when we come out of a coaching session, Rebecca, sometimes, and we don't have this structure to support us?
You've taken me down memory lane there with what went well and even better if, and you've made a great point that self-reflection is important, but we don't always have to do it on our own as well. So it's important to know that we do have our peers, whether in supervision or Sarah and I hold monthly listening partnerships based on the work of Nancy Klein, where you can be in an environment where other people are listening to you, processing your thoughts and articulating that. So what can happen when we come out of a coaching session? Well, there are three things that can happen. We can come out on a low, and I will break that down for you in a second. We can come out with a little bit of uncertainty. Things can get a bit messy. That's the messy middle. Or we can come out on a high. So when we're coming out on a low, we may have experienced a lack of rapport or a loss of rapport with our client during that session. We may have felt stuck as a coach in order to take them to the end of the session and help them to support them in what their next steps are, what their ways forward is or are. We may have felt that we didn't delve deeper, we didn't support them deep enough, and we didn't help to unpack their obstacles enough. There are so many reasons for us coming out on a low. And sometimes, Sarah, we can be really, really hard on ourselves as coaches. And sometimes we want to experience this like aha moment, this euphoric moment with our client where they've had this breakthrough. And it's really important to know that that doesn't always happen immediately after a session, every session. Sometimes we need to think about the fact that we've gone through a lot of exploration in our coaching. That means that the impact of that may happen days after, weeks after, months after. And our client needs that time to process and needs that time to reflect. And after the session, it may not happen in that moment. And that's really important to remember, because I know that's often the question. Oh my goodness, my client didn't have that breakthrough that session. But it doesn't mean that you haven't supported them as a coach, because that breakthrough may happen for them in a week's time, a month's time, a year's time even. So that's the low. Tell me about the messy middle, Sarah.
Absolutely, Rebecca, I completely agree. And I think sometimes we get very hooked on wanting to have that sort of immediate feedback, don't we? And if we don't get it, sometimes that kind of plunges us into a, oh, it's a low, you know. And something I hear so often from coaches as well is that that voice of the inner critic can be so loud and so tough. And we definitely resonate with that as well, you know, and that's absolutely true. So it's really, really important that when that inner critic maybe kicks in, and it's often an emotional response, it's not always based on sort of a logical analysis of actually what happened in the coaching session. So important that we have somewhere safe, i.e. supervision, in which to take that. So what else can happen? So we might, as Rebecca said, we might come out on a low, we might have that voice of the inner critic kind of kicking us a bit. The other thing that can happen in coaching is that things get messy. And this is where we talk about this kind of messy middle. things can get messy because when we're working in coaching, we're working with fellow human beings. We're emotional creatures. We all have our ups. We all have our downs. Goals change during the course of coaching. Clients get stuck. They fall off track. And sometimes we feel that. And so sometimes it can feel that the coaching session didn't go as planned. Maybe we've come to the session with a certain expectation as a coach. Maybe we feel that the client has a certain expectation as a client. Sometimes we just have a feeling that something's a bit off with the client or off in terms of the relationship. Maybe we've noticed that we've fallen out of rapport and we can't quite get it back again. There can be all of these sort of nuanced things that can be going on in a relationship that sometimes we can't quite put our finger on. We can't quite articulate it and process it. And again, it's all of that kind of messiness that is really useful to bring into supervision.
And for me, some of the times when I experience that messiness and sometimes that low, upon reflection, because yes, we're human and Sarah and I are pretty good at going back after our sessions and reflecting. But often sometimes it comes down to boundaries for me, Sarah. Sometimes I may have not checked in with my boundaries, or it could come down to contracting. We now know as supervisors how so important contracting is, even more so now that we've trained as supervisors. So often if I've come out and I felt on a low or I felt that things are messy, it often comes down to that I didn't contract well or deep enough, or that I let my boundaries slip a little bit. So it's one question for you to think about when you've gone into or come out of a coaching session and you felt low or you felt that things are messy. What's going on for you there? So we can then come out on a high. We've got the high, we've got the low, we've got the messy middle. So what's the high? That high feeling is that our client has met their goal, met their target. They have also come out on a high. You can see that in their facial expressions, in their body language, even through the words that they're saying. We're ecstatic. They're ecstatic. We're all celebrating the success and the progress. But there is a danger here, right? Because when we feel that kind of immediate response, that immediate high from our clients, it's really, really important that we are checking in with our ego as well, because our ego loves that high, right? And maybe we don't often reflect as much as we need to in a thoughtful way because we've already felt like everything's gone according to plan. But Sarah and I can tell you that there are always areas for growth. We spoke about this in the previous podcast episodes about making sure that our learning is continuous, this ongoing coach development. What else could we have worked on that we could improve? Or as well, what did go well? But there should always be an element where we're balancing out our assessment of our skill set, of our knowledge, as well as our client experience too. So what happens in supervision, Sarah, when we experience these highs, these lows, these messy middles? What happens in supervision?
So in supervision, we have the opportunity to put it all on the table. Now, sometimes we might not have managed to process or reflect actually on what has happened in a coaching conversation or in a coaching relationship. Sometimes we just have a feeling that something doesn't feel quite right, and we want support from our supervisor and from the other coaches in our group, if we're in group supervision, to help us to unpack what's going on in that relationship. What's going on for us as coach? What's going on with the client? And we can use the supervision space to really get into the granular, nitty gritty of what happens in the context of that particular coaching conversation. Another thing, though, that I like to use supervision for sometimes is to actually bring what's going well as well, because I don't think we do enough of that. So sometimes if there's been a coaching session that has really been particularly powerful, or sometimes at the end of at the close of a coaching relationship with a client, I like to use the supervision space actually just to unpack what has happened there? What was it that made that relationship, that made that dynamic so successful? And what can I learn from that that will help me take that forward into future coaching relationships or future practice? So it can be both the lows and the highs and anything in the middle. All of it is welcome in supervision. We put it all on that supervision table.
We definitely put it all on the table, and that's encouraged. That's definitely something that we would love for you to do. And one of my favorite questions to ask is, what do you not want your supervisor to know of you and your coaching? And this came from the In Love with Coaching or In Love with Coaching Supervision book that I was reading. And it's not just this question that matters. It's also the question of the why behind it. And that tells you the work that you need to work on and explore. And I'm going to reference this to Robert Showett, who's an author of that coaching supervision book, because it's really important to think about, why are we in supervision in the first place? And we're in supervision to look at our blind spots. We're in supervision to learn, to increase our awareness, to really, really showcase what's been going on in our coaching practice, whether it's the highs, the lows, the messy middle, so that we can continue to be a better coach, continue to develop and learn from our experiences. So ask yourself as well, if you are in supervision or you're thinking about being in supervision, what is it that you want your supervisor or do not want your supervisor to know of your coaching? And why is that?
And again, like all of these things, it takes courage, doesn't it? But I find that when a coach brings something that is the thing that they really don't want to bring, when we pose that question, and it's such a great question, actually that's where the greatest learning comes from, because it's bringing it all out of the darkness into the light so that we can unpack and we can explore it. So great question. Thank you for sharing that. Okay. So as we move towards wrapping up then from today's session, lots to think about. We've talked about coaching, reflective practice, the highs, the lows, the messy middle. Rebecca, what are the two words that you're taking away from our conversation today?
Okay, so I think in episode 2, I didn't stick to the rules with this one. So I think I'm going to break it today. But for me, it's just encouraging you to get messy, right? And that needs to come with lots and lots of caveats to that, because I think in order for us to know what's our high, what's our low, what's our messy middle, we have to be able to challenge ourselves to trying new things. We have to be able to go through that reflective practice process individually as a group. Getting messy is the only way that we can continue to learn and grow, but we need to get messy safely and ethically. And that's where supervision comes in. What's yours, Sarah?
I love it. Okay. For me, I think it's vulnerability. And that's often a word that actually comes up for me at the end of a supervision conversation, because we have to be vulnerable in sharing and really allowing ourselves to recognize and articulate those highs, those lows, those messy middles. So definitely vulnerability. And my second, I'm kind of cheating here because it's not one word, but taking a bird's eye view. So vulnerability and taking a bird's eye view to really allow ourselves to zoom out and give ourselves an overview of what has actually happened in that conversation.
Well, I'm glad that I'm not the only one that didn't stick to the rules today, Sarah.
I know.
Right. So if you want to get messy, if you want to be vulnerable, if you want to have the opportunity to take a bird's eye view, we do host monthly listening partnerships. They're complimentary for coaches to experience what supervision feels like, just in the smallest of ways. It's our way to give back to the coaching community. So please do hop over to our website and check that out. And we are wrapping up today's episode, and we can't wait to continue in future episodes to supporting you to elevate your coaching practice, coach confidently, coach happily, and also coach ethically. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If you've heard anything that's prompted a question, inspired you, or challenged you, head to the podcast page on our website. That's www.thecoachingcatalysts.com/podcast.
We also have a free guide to help you to elevate your coaching practice. So hop onto our mailing list to receive your copy. And if you've enjoyed this conversation today, please follow, rate, and review the podcast.
Hey, before you head off, we have something really, really exciting to share with you. What have we got coming up, Sarah?
We have got international coaching coming up on the week beginning the 13th of May. And during that week, we're going to be sharing lots of live workshops and teaching all around coaching and coach supervision. We ran it last year and it was absolutely wonderful. So we'd love you to join us this year.
It's absolutely free, starting the week the 13th of May. As Sarah has said, daily workshops, an exclusive masterclass. And to sign up, head to thecoachingcatalyst.com/podcast for the link to register. We look forward to seeing you there.